The Lord spoke to Pastor Walker and said that this was the year of transformation. And we want to just take a dive into that today, because I believe there's some things the Lord wants to say to us regarding that. Where's Elder Gail? Sister, I need to ask you, because as I prepared, I realized, I said, Lord, there's no way I'm going to be sharing this in one day. So maybe it's a part one and a part two for today and Wednesday. But then when I woke up this morning, I sensed that, Lord, I don't even know if I'm going to get to it the way I think I am. So I think I prepared a class and not a message. So I submit to you that if we find a way to work this into the rotation, that I have something I believe the Lord has given that needs to be shared, and we don't need to rush through it. And we're going to look at transformation, but this probably is the introduction today. The reason I say that is because I had a scripture that I want to read to you that when I first read it, I thought, oh, man, what a beautiful picture of transformation. But I didn't realize that in that scripture until about 30 minutes ago, I didn't realize that that scripture is the whole message is contained within that one scripture. So let me share that with you. It's in 1 John chapter 3. And it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And in that first verse, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. That's our starting point. In this whole conversation about transformation, it begins in this incredible love that the Father has bestowed on us. This undeserving love that he just chooses to give. We start there in the love of God. There's no moving forward if we've not experienced the love. There's no other place to go in God where you bypass his love. The love of God, it confronts us. His love is not like what we mean a lot of times when we say we love somebody. Because God's love also includes his discipline. It includes his correction. It includes his adjustments. Now, a lot of times when we're dealing with each other, when love has those components, we feel rejected by the person on some level. Or we feel checked and jumped on. But God, he loves us so much that he would willingly restrict or shut down one thing in your life so that you can prosper in the needful thing. Do you know God is not that committed to your success on your job as you think he is? Yes, he wants you to be successful, but listen, I hope y'all can be going a little deeper today, because where I believe the Lord wants to deal with is some motivations, some stuff on it. We can't just do the right thing. We got to do the right thing for the right reasons. Because God doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the heart. So you could be doing all the right things, but if the heart's not in the right place, then God didn't receive it as that. So we have to check ourselves to make sure that our heart is right. See, and if your job, as much of a blessing it is, becomes the hindrance in your life, do you know the Lord would lovingly allow you to be released? Some of you ain't never prayed like you prayed until you found out you weren't going to be going back to work. And maybe all he wanted was you to spend that time with him. Sometimes some things have to be taken away, stripped down for us to move forward. In fact, a big part of transformation has to do with some stripping and taking away. I want you to hear me. And the Lord said, this is a year. This is the year of transformation. Going back to 1 John 3, so that's where our starting point is, the love that the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Now, I need to say this for the sake of those that maybe don't know this about God, but whenever God says something, it's always multidimensional. It's never just on that one level that we think it applies to. For example, salvation. When the Lord saves you, salvation, what are you talking about? He sets you free. Free from the bondage of sin. He sets us free. But it's not just that immediate deliverance that happens when you say yes to the Lord and he sets you free. But it's also being made free so that you don't do some of the crazy stuff that was awaiting you. See, not only are you free, say, whoo, that stuff that had me, it don't have me no more. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world can't take it away. I'm free. Praise God, I'm free. No longer bound. Listen, that's true. But let me tell you what else is happening. That as you start to live out this freedom, you'll find that some of those generational curses that has plagued your family don't have a place in you. Mm. Some of the same bad decisions that you've seen happen over and over in your family that's caused so many of your relatives and loved ones to live marginal lives or to be hurt or to be wounded. When you get saved, not only are you saved from that in that immediate being deliverance, but also your future just got saved. You don't have to go that way. The power that pulls you down that path has been broken. Now you're free to choose another way. You ain't got to cuss everybody out just because your mama did. You know, I know you can't. One of my family's, you know, I'm not saying mine, it could have been. But I'm just saying, you might say, my family, everybody gamble. They may have, but you don't have to go that way. Because you've been set free. That's salvation. So it's not just the immediate, but it's also you being made free. But he's also talking about that ultimate salvation where you receive eternal life. So it's multidimensional. And depending on where you are in your walk with God, when the Lord says something, the Holy Spirit shows you how that thing applies to you at this point in your life. In other words, he meets us right where we are. He meets us right where we are. I'm sorry, did anybody agree with that one? Then say amen, church. Let me try it again. He meets us right where we are. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. He does. And so when the Lord says transformation, it's multidimensional. It's not just one area or one aspect. So we're gonna drill down a little bit. We're going to peer beyond the obvious and look at the more of what God might be saying So you can see and have a better understanding in this first month of the year, the last Sunday in this month, in the year of transformation. What is he saying to me? Where's this thing going? What kind of track has been laid for my life that I need to be aware of so I can know what to embrace and what to rebuke? Thank you, somebody. Listen. Because sometimes we rebuke stuff that the Lord has accepted. That's why I told you a part of transformation has to do with a stripping. But if you only see in one aspect of this thing, as soon as something comes to take something away, you go to see that's the devil. The Lord said I was going to be transformed. This is my promotion this year. Maybe your promotion starts with you being humble. Because God's way up is not the same way the world goes. God's way up normally includes you going down first. He says, humble yourself before him. And then there's exaltation. Then we get lifted. But if we don't understand that, as soon as the humility or the stripping away, we start binding that thing and we cut it off. And God said, man, I really did want to transform your life. But you're not working with me. You got the wrong attitude. So I think part of what God wants to do today is to adjust our attitude, adjust our perspective so that we can work with the Holy Ghost and not against them. Okay, let all the young people say amen. Amen. This is Fifth Sunday, so it's a youth focus. But you know, if you know anything about Pastor Walker, everybody under 50 is youth. So we pray that everybody will receive something today. So it says the world did not know us because it did not know him. So watch this. Here's one thing about this transformation. It says, therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. In other words, we're hidden. The world don't know you. Oh, see, when God's information that God does in us as a body and in you individually is really not on display for the world. In fact, they may see the evidence of it, but they won't know what it is. They go, oh, Lord, yeah, she got laid off. Well, she says she a Christian, so maybe God will provide. They don't even understand because it's a hidden work. But if you don't understand, you saying what they saying. Oh, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen now. They done came in here and cut this thing off. Should I tap the office before I leave, or should I leave in peace? You know, we don't even know how to respond. But you need to know that it's a hidden word. You know, God likes to take things and do it undercover and then say. I mean, to me, he is the ultimate surprise. And he's like, watch this. Ha! So when I realized God was like that, I said, well, I want to be like him. So I started doing that too. That's why I told my family, I'm so excited this year. I turned 60, and my surprise 60th birthday party is going to be a blessing. I don't know when it is, Betty. Huh? Janet, I don't know what all they're going to do. But boy, that surprise is going to be something else. So they're working undercover right now. Getting it together, baby. Then one day they go, whoo! Because that's what God does. That's what God does. Look, this wasn't necessarily my notes, but can I just share this? Because I just feel like it's going to help somebody. I remember a few years back, I was playing keyboards, and we had a missions director at that time named Pat Bailey. And she did this conference in North Carolina, Youth Missions Conference. And a lot of, how many of you guys went to that? How many of y'all remember back when that happened a few years ago? Yeah. So I was playing the keyboards in one of the sessions. We had taken a pretty significant sized group up there, college students and youth, teenagers. And I was playing in one of the sessions, and there was a brother by the name of Alfonso Belen that was ministering in that session. Now, the way the thing was set up, if that's the floor, the keyboards was like up where the screen, it was up, high and lifted up, way away from everything. So I'm looking with the bird's eye view of what God is doing. And Alfonso Belen, he was a different sort of guy. He was ministering and prophesying, and he was walking across the floor, going back and forth and ministering to people and coming back this way and calling people out. And he got halfway across the stop and turned around and looked up top and said, "You're one of those ones." And I'm playing, I'm like, because I didn't know he was talking to me. I looked around and realized nobody else was up there. So I said, okay. And I said all that, but the point of it was this. I'm not going to go into all of what he said, but one of the things he said, now when that happened, I was my role and function in ministry was, I was a keyboard player at the church under the direction of Janet Johnson in the music ministry, and that was it. I wasn't a minister, I wasn't elder, I wasn't pastor, I wasn't none, I was just Greg. Brother Greg, which is a pretty nice title. Brother Greg. And he said some things to me, but one of the things he said that what God's going to do, it's going to happen so fast that people are going to look around and go, is that the same Greg? He said, God's going to move you from the back to the front, and it's going to happen just like that. God likes doing that kind of stuff. I want to encourage somebody that feel like you're not being seen right now. See, you're paying the price. You're going through the sufferings. You're going through all that it takes for you to walk this walk out. Sometimes you look at your journey and what's in front of you, and you go, Lord, is this not too much? Can I get a break sometime? For those that's in that place, and you feel like nobody knows what you're going through, listen, God sees. Not only does he see, he might very well be the author of what you're going through, because there's coming a time that he wants to pull back and expose what's hidden. And when he does, he steps back and goes, that's my work. That's my work. So this scripture says that the world don't know us because they don't know us because we're his, right? So what he's doing is hidden. That's one of the things. We're going to talk about this, but this is, again, this scripture is just an introduction. I didn't realize that this one scripture, Elder Robert, had everything I was trying to talk about. I said, I could have saved myself a whole lot of research if I had just stayed on this scripture and let God talk to me. But I didn't see it till I was in the office back there waiting to come in. And I said, look at here. And it says, verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God. So one part of transformation is we have to get located. Where are you now? Because transformation, I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me just, it involves some movement. So it's taking you from a place to a place. But you don't know where you're going if you don't know where you are. You don't know if you've moved. In the business world, in some aspects of it, they call it your baseline data. You got to know where you're starting from before you can measure if there's been some increase or some gain or some loss. You got that has to be something identified as to where you are. And so he said, here's where you are. Now you're the children of God. You're talking about this process of transformation. You weren't before, but now you're saved. Now you belong to me. He said, now you're children, this is where you are. He said, and it does not yet, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. What we shall be. So the shall be denotes some kind of change. Because where we are is one place. But now you're talking about what we shall be. So that's a little different. What it takes to get from where we are to where we shall be, I submit to you that is the work of the Holy Ghost. That transformation. And you can't get there on your own. You don't even know what that is. In fact, it said it has not even been revealed. In fact, I love the scripture said that the best you can think of for yourself is too small. In fact, he said, man, I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, it ain't even entered into your heart. You don't know. So when you start dreaming, I know you got your vision board and all that stuff, but listen, you can't even imagine. You can't even imagine. He said, it shall be. And then he says, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be, what? Like him. That's where we're going. Where we are now, we're the children of God. But there's some change that's going to happen. And he says, and where you're going to end up is you're going to be like him. We're going to be like him. We're going to be like Jesus. For we shall see him as he is, which suggests to me that we don't see him as he is in this untransformed posture. Transformation is so necessary so that we can see God for who he is, so we can see Jesus. Perhaps we see a portion, we got a glimpse, but there's more to be seen. Oh my God. Church, don't get tired. Don't get worn out and burnt out. There's so much more of God to be seen. We're just scratching the surface. And if you've enjoyed it, that's good. But don't get to the place and say, well, I've enjoyed it, and I've been enjoying this for a while. It looked like this is about it. So, I mean, I thank God for what I'll start to measure how much I do. I come to church, you know, at least twice a month. I'll tithe sometimes. Sometimes I do some outreach, sometimes I won't. I mean, I just pull back a little bit, get a little bit more balance, right? A little more balance in my life. Because I see this thing now. In fact, I don't even read as much as I used to, because I've already read the Bible a couple of times. I mean, I don't have it memorized, but if you say something, I'm pretty much, I know where you're coming from. I got this. In fact, that's one of my challenges. Need to read more. Need to study more. Need to study more. But transformation brings us to the place where we can see him as he is. And then I love this verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him, they do something. See, the work of transformation is the work of the Holy Ghost. He is the agent of change. But it still requires our participation. Transformation does. He says, in fact, he said, if you get this hope, oh, I love that. It's got to move from information to hope. It's got to get past what we think about God into what we know about him. There's a lot of our understanding of God that's still at the level of understanding. But God wants us to experience the kind of change that moves it from understanding to an experience, an encounter, an engagement. See, that's what happened with Paul. Remember? Paul had a zeal for God. That boy was killing everything that said they are Christian. You follow who? Oh, you out. Paul was taking him out. But he was doing it because he felt he was serving God. Based on his understanding of who God is and how he interpreted the activity of folk around, he saw that as a betrayal. That they walked away from the Father and started, they in a cult. Talking about Jesus. We're followers of Jesus the Christ. Now they got a name for we're Christians. I'm killing all y'all. I'm not converting you. Yes, he has some kind of evangelistic mission. I ain't praying for none of y'all. I'm killing you. That was how he dealt with it, right? But then he was on the road to Damascus, and what happened? He had an encounter with the Lord. That encounter was so impactful that it knocked him off of his transportation form of mobility, knocked him off of what was carrying him to do what he thought was the right thing. So now he's stuck. He now got knocked off. And just to keep him from getting back up and jumping on the donkey and taking off, he was struck blind. So now not only is he off his mobility track, now he can't see to get back on it. Oh, yeah, can you hear me now? All of a sudden now, this understanding of God has gone to a different place. His heart is being touched, right? And then God gave him instructions. The Lord gave him instructions on what to do. And, you know, time went on, blase, blase, blase. And we see some 3 years later, this man of God emerges from, I don't know, the wilderness, the desert, or wherever he was. And now he is an apostle extraordinaire, wrote most of the New Testament, had the most extensive evangelistic ministry and leading many souls to Jesus, and still doing it today through his writings. Amazing. Amazing. Because it's no longer just in his head. Now something has happened. There's been a transformation. So he says there's a part we play in it. The Holy Spirit does that. But then there's a part you play. What is that part? He said, anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he the Lord is pure. He purifies himself. He purifies himself. So I would dare to say that that's where I think many of us are. We're in that experience of recognizing stuff about us that ain't right, and doing what we know to do to get it right. How many of y'all working on some stuff right now? Yeah. Yeah. But see, let me tell you why messages like this are so important. You can't just do the right thing, but you got to do it for the right reason. See, a lot of people working up right, but they call it a New Year's resolution. You see where I'm going with this? You know, that's efforts to clean up our life and to do things. But if we're not doing it for the right reason, if we don't understand that God is transforming me, but here's my part. I got to stop making excuses. I got to stop making excuses and clean up, you know. Isn't there a gospel song talking about clean up what I messed up, started my life over? Y'all don't know nothing. That's a different kind of praise right there. Got to clean up. You got to step that thing. Huh? But that's you got to purify. Come on. Yes, you can pray, say, Lord, you know, help me to speak as the oracle of God. But you just stop cussing. You know, I don't know why I'm on that cussing thing today. But there's some parts you can do. And maybe the first thing is stop listening to stuff full of profanity and you won't be repeating it yourself. If you watch your diet and what you're feeding yourself, maybe you have more control over what come out of your mouth. You got to do some stuff. You got to purify. Come on, Lord, help me. Help me keep my mind so you will keep me in perfect peace. If I keep my mind stayed on thee, yes, the Lord will do it. But when them thoughts come to you, put your mind on something else. You know, it's one thing to have a thought to come, but it's another thing to stay there and nurture that thing. Now we're going to move off into fantasy. You know, it's one thing to have a thought, but fantasizing, come on, man. Stop making excuses. You know good and well, you weren't looking for it. You were just through the internet or going on Facebook or whatever. All of a sudden, this picture came up. You weren't looking for it. But why are you still there 3 minutes later? And then you hit the next thing to do to follow the next one. You know the next one's going to be a little more intense than that one. And by the time you get 3 or 4 down, you go, ooh, this is sin. It was sin when you first saw it and didn't stop doing what you was doing. We got to stop making excuses. It's time to stop. Listen, time out. Time out. This is the year of what? It's time to give transformation. But those who have that hope, those that see that, doing some things, they're purifying themselves. That's why we got to pray. That's why we got to consecrate our lives. Because you have to do some stuff to move towards purity. Got to purify our heart. We got to get this flesh under control. We gotta get carnality out of our walk with God. The problem is, but the Lord's gonna help us. Lord, we don't even know what the difference is. We don't know it's carnality that need to get out. We think this is just what God knows, but the Lord's gonna reveal it. I said he's gonna reveal it. He's gonna leave us without excuse so that we can do what we're supposed to be doing. So that we work with the Holy Ghost that's doing what we cannot do. Let me say that again. God's going to reveal to us what that line is between that's what's sacred and that's what's secular. The holy from the unholy. So that we can choose to be on the right side of that line and choose holiness. We want to choose holiness. That's our part. We got to make that choice so that we can be in position for God to do what we can't do. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. See, I knew that's what I'd see. That's my introduction. And it's, we're a few minutes into the message already. That's why I knew that this was going to be a part two. We hadn't even really started part one. That's why I had to ask Elder Gale for permission to make this a class, because I hope, are you getting anything? Are you tracking with me? Amen, amen, because I pray that, I hope, my prayer has been, Lord, help me to give what you're giving me in such a way that they hungry for it the way I have been, that they would enjoy it the way I have been, they would extract from it for themselves like I've been receiving this download, so that when we do have a chance to sort of massage this some more, whether it be another service or a class, that you would want to be a part of it, because I believe God has something very significant to say. But I just decided I am not going to rush through and cheapen this experience so that I can check a box and go, did it, got all my points in. That's not what the goal is. I didn't understand until the more I talk about transformation, you'll understand better why I said that. In fact, this next scripture is going to help explain that. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. I'm reading from the Message Bible right now. It says, whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face. And as we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter, more beautiful, as God enters our lives and we become like him. Now let me read that from the New King James, 2 Corinthians 3. I'm going to start at verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When you turn to the Lord, that's when the veil is. There's a veil that causes us not to see him for who he is. And no matter how much we want or labor over that, we can't do that. We can't remove it. It's the turning to him. It's the brightness of his glory. It's the turn to him that causes what blinds us or diminishes that view. It's removed. That veil is removed, right? And so verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we are with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are being formed, there's our word, into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed. As we behold him, we are being transform. Do we understand how important this is? Because this is a means of beholding him. As we gaze on him, there's a transition that's happening in us. As we look on him, and it's not just when we come to church, but it's also your private time before God. And it's not just one thing, it's everything. It's when you're reading your Bible, it's when you're praying, it's when you're singing, you know, to him. How many of y'all have worship services by yourself? You sound good, don't you? All that time, we're beholding him. And it's not just when we initiate, but it's those times when we're sleeping, the Lord wakes you up and start talking to you. You know what I'm talking about, Nakisha. Yeah. You rest, and the life of the Lord got something for you at 4:30 in the morning. It's like, Lord, I'll be up at 8. But he want to talk to you now. But when we put that sleep aside, put it on the altar, right, and we turn to him, we're beholding him. Right there, transformation is happening. Listen, let me tell you something. Stop putting so much emphasis on how many nuggets you get. Do you know the greater part is just being in his face? Even when we gather here, stop putting so much emphasis on, well, I didn't really like that song. Or I didn't like that song selection today. Or, well, the building was a little warm. Or I didn't really understand what Pastor was talking about. All that may be true, but you know what the greater part is? That you're in this place beholding. There's no other way for you to become who God has destined you to be without beholding. We're transformed. As we behold, it's like looking in a mirror. But what we're seeing is the Greg you ought to be. Well, I ought to be. You're seeing, you know, the you ought to be. Stop seeing who I ought to be and come telling me. Just see you. That's a whole nother message, but it's beholding him. Man, I pray to ask, Lord, if nothing else happens today, can we leave here with a greater appreciation of being in your presence and beholding you? That when those moments come, that we count them so valuable, that we treasure them. You ever been leaving to go do something or getting ready to say something to somebody and the Lord stop you and get you to rethinking, should you really say that? Or should you really go to that place? Right in that place, yes, work through that issue and say, yes, Lord, agree with him. But beyond that, here's where that worship is. Lord, you love me so much. Remember, I tell you, that's the starting point of this transformation. You love me so much that you stopped me to talk to me. I want to stay right here. I want to be at that place where you have my attention and say that you can tell me what's right and where I'm wrong. And I can change. Can we start to value that? Some of you don't appreciate that aspect of your walk with the Lord. Are you thinking, Lord, I wish the Lord was. I pray about this, and I want to give. I want a spirit of prophecy. I want this, or I just want the Lord to. You think about all those giftings and stuff we seek the Lord before. But what about, Lord, that you grant me access? I can behold your face. That's the only hope that I'm not going to be the same mess next month that I am now. That's the only hope that I'm becoming the better version of me. This is not the stuff that happens when I make some New Year's resolution and I try to develop some new habits. I'm not stopping you from doing that, but we need to recognize that what the Holy Ghost does. This is precious, and those that don't know the Lord, they don't understand it. They see this, they go, why y'all got to go every Sunday? And why y'all got to stay there for a whole hour? And why? All they got is complaints. Because they don't see it. Because this work is hidden from the world. I just went back to 1 John 3. Did you get that? That's hidden. It's hidden. But it's not hidden from you. It's hidden for you. even if you can't stay awake, come sleep in this place of transformation. Now, we're not going to put no cots up in the back. But I'm trying to help you. Because see, what the enemy would do is try to get you in guilt because you doze a little bit. Or get you in guilt because you sit here in the message, even while I'm talking right now, your spirit is going, ooh, that's some good stuff. But your mind starts thinking about other stuff. And you go, man, I don't know why I can't focus. I'm in the presence. See, we can't devalue this experience because this is where we're made to look like him. This is where we're made to look like him. Okay? And he says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into. Because we're going somewhere, y'all. Remember, where we are. But transformation is taking us somewhere. We're going somewhere. Let me turn Baptist on you for a moment. Hit your neighbor and say, we're going somewhere. I said, hit him. I didn't say just turn. Hit him. So we're going somewhere. Amen. We're going somewhere. Now, I want us to take a prophetic view into this dynamic of transformation. Let's look into it from a prophetic perspective, because I believe that there's more going on than what. Yes, the word has been declared that this is the year of transformation. But let's see that from the perspective of the prophetic. The declaration was made, but what if it's more than a glimpse into the focus of 2023? What if it's actually a prophetic word to us about what God is doing and is going to do in our lives? Remember I told you how when God speaks, it's multidimensional, so many levels? The Lord was dealing with my heart about this and said, Greg, see this thing prophetically. And as I'm working through that and say, okay, but Lord, give me something, you know, because the Lord knows I'm so practical. I just, you know, so multidimensional. Let me show you something that came to me. I wasn't looking for it. I was just working through this understanding. And all of a sudden, my wife came home and said, I just had a wonderful conversation with Ayana. I said, you did? She said, yeah. She just got back from New York, and God did something awesome in her life. And she was sharing me the testimony. When she did, I said, I need that. I need to share that with the congregation. And he shared it with the congregation. And I wasn't quite sure why and how until the Lord began to put more of this together for me. Because, listen, I have to understand first before I can share something with you. Y'all know that, right? It has to minister to me. Because if it doesn't become life in me, it's just a speech. The Lord has to make it life. So I want to share this testimony with you. It's only a couple of minutes. Sister Sandra put this together for us last night at the last minute. Yes, I'm sorry. Sandra, I love you. Thank you. Thank you for jumping off. But let's share that now. Is that set up for us?
Hello. Can we go? Just want to encourage us with a brief testimony that with God.
Can we start it over? Can we start it over? Talking and they probably didn't hear.
Hello. Just want to encourage us with a brief testimony that with God, all things are possible. 4 years ago, in January 2019, my husband Reggie mentioned he wanted to take a cross-culture church Sunday school class, Living in Full Effectiveness, with his dear friend Rob Mathis, who was a teacher at the time. And this would be a way for him to draw closer to God. So I said to him, well, we're going to come with you as a family. Now, that was quite a feat because we lived in Dunwoody. Church was in Lithonia, you know, a good 30, 40 minutes away. Sunday school class started at 8:30 a.m. Nonetheless, we went forward with it. Through that class, I was challenged to seek God about my purpose. And it was during that time that I believe the Lord spoke to my heart about how I could continue to tend to the needs of my family and progress in my career. I wanted to launch a group where we would work remotely, primarily using our Indian professionals, training them to deliver a quality audit in a niche industry, one that was said not to be sexy, it's construction. I presented that idea to a few of my partners and leaders on my job, for which they said, "Ayana, nice idea, but not now." I was disappointed, but I continued with grassroots efforts to deliver whatever was asked of me. I'm going above and working nights and weekends to seed and invest into what I believe God gave me. 2 years after, in 2021, during COVID, my job nationally was seeking to explore new working models under the future of work, and my idea was approved and launched. It served as a business case for my promotion to managing director at the number one international professional services firm globally, Deloitte. I am counted as in the 1% of the 400 employees globally. Through the construction group that I'm leading, we grew from about 1 to 2 professionals to over 40, providing work for many in India, giving working parents a place to thrive and balance home and work. It's been an answer to prayer for me and others. I even have the opportunity to share my testimony of Jesus saving me to an Indian who inquired, "Tell me the secret of your happiness." That was literally the question. Our group is projecting to grow from 50 to 250,000 hours in, 3 years. It's assisting with global proposals. I just came back from New York for a $10 to $12 million proposal, which our group would be the differentiating factor. We've passed quality inspections. We're retaining people. We're operationally efficient, and we're growing in the marketplace. There were some who said, "There's no room for you in the inn." But God, I've watched the hand of God move like none other. He has prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. God has anointed my head with oil, and I've watched my cup overflow, and I bless him for it. Whatever your sphere of influence, plant that seed, work in that vineyard, and believe God for the increase. Whatever your challenge is, know that with God, all things are possible for you as well. God bless.
I thank God for Reggie and Ayana and people like them, like Betty, Roger, that though the Lord has them in different places, they still are connected with family. And so for those, let me do just a quick recap. If I mess this up, Josh, you heard what your auntie said, so straighten me out if I get something wrong. But just the highlights of it. Rob, what year did she say that was? Huh? 2019. 2019, Reggie and Ayana was living in Atlanta, in Dunwoody. And Reggie heard, it was announced that Rob was going to be teaching the life class. Life is an acronym for living in full effectiveness. And Reggie felt the press of the Lord to take that class for personal growth. And Ayana said, "Well, honey, if you're going to do it, we'll all take the class with you." And they made that commitment to drive from Dunwoody here to the church for 8:30 in the morning, Sunday morning class. Here's where we are. Now we are the children of God. I'm doing location. That's where she was, in the house of God, doing what? Beholding. And in that place of beholding, what happens? Transform. Thank you, Barbara. Somebody, you getting the A in my class. So while she was in the class, Robert was speaking. He wasn't Elder Robert Mathis at that time. It was Minister Robert Mathis was teaching the class, and the Lord began to download to a strategy for work. She took it, she wrote it down, and she went and talked to her superiors, and they said, "That's cute, but not for us, at least not now." She worked on it some more, and later on, it became the catalyst for her to get promoted, a huge promotion. Well, this passed, and she kept working on it. She said on a grassroots level, kept tweaking it, getting the plan right. It all had to do with, she's an accountant, so it had to do with doing something as a project with construction folk. And particularly it was directed at India, but it was a global initiative. And just recently this past week, she had the opportunity to present that in New York, and it was well received. Now her company that she's with, Deloitte, is about, they're entering into multi-million dollar projects, all because of what she presented. But what I want you to see is, where was she? I'm not talking about physically, but even physically she was in church. But where was she? She was in the Lord. She was before God when the Lord gave this. And this thing that God imparted nurtured, grew, right? And over time, she's been transformed. She got a promotion. She got raised. She's got global platform, creating jobs in on the other side of the world. Somebody asked her, so happy. How do you stay happy? She had a chance to tell them about Jesus. So all of this opened the door for the testimony of the Lord to go forth. I'm trying to show you what a transformed life, what happens. When God does, he takes us from where we are to something that we can't even, but it's for his glory. And it doesn't stop, because the Bible talks about beholding, you know, him, and we become as he is. And we've been changed from glory to glory. In other words, there's levels of that brightness, of that light, of that impact of transformation, and multidimensional. So it's just not going to be for your career. It affects your family. And she began to talk about how it impacted her family, her children, her husband. It will affect your health. It will affect, can I tell you, when God transformed, there's nothing. Now I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is just a teaser for the close. I'm closing. The teaser for whenever. But no part of your life is unaffected. Even if you think it's minute, it's important to God. And the word to us prophetically is that this is the year of what? God gave that back in 2019. But it was this year that she had opportunity to present. And look at this thing opened up. What if, amen, go ahead and bless the Lord. Janet, I'm finished. What if this declaration for this year, not just a guide for the church for 2023, what if it's prophetic for your life? What if God is trying to let you know that if you would align yourself with me, I'm about to transform you. Some things that you've been seeing with, you don't even know why it's important or why it's happening, but I'm about to bring it to fruition and move you to another place for my glory. So there's something that exalts me. And yeah, you may get blessed. That's not the objective. See, if you all about growing, becoming wealthier, enlarging your territory, trying to get more influence, making more money, you know, more notoriety, a better position, this is not going to appeal to you. Because that stuff may come, but that's not promised. When the Lord transforms, it's for his glory. So this is really to believers. This is to believers. This is to those who are willing to lay it down, go through those hard times, those sufferings, let God form them and do what he's doing in them so that he can get the glory out of their lives. So I guess this message today was really an exhortation. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. You may not have seen what this thing is going to be. And you don't just know this by faith, that we don't know, it's not being revealed what will be. But what we do know is that when he's revealed, we're going to be like him. It's worth it. It's worth it, even if right before you see it break open here, he brings you home. And you end up his face instead of a panel in New York. To God be the glory. What you're living for? Or really, should I say, what you're dying for? Amen. 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 Amen.